Good morning. And you are really a welcoming church. So you have attained that objective. I was here about several years ago during the sermon, and I was invited through a recommendation from Hannah Martin and Vicki Witt, who are on the Sanctuary Coalition with me, and who I hugely admire. I recently changed churches, and I joined United Church of Christ up near where we live. We live in Cascade, up in Green Mountain Falls. And when I was considering making this change, I made a short list of possible churches. And number one was this church that was 4 miles away, and number two was your church. So I went to the first one, and I loved it, and I joined in September, and then I got this invitation to speak to you, and I said, oh, I love this church. This is great, and it's about 20 miles from where I live. So I chose this particular scripture because I expect that all of us in one way or another have been moved and nudged and called and commanded and prodded by the Holy Spirit. So we've all felt those moments when the gentle Spirit is pushing at us. And sometimes we think that we hear that Spirit. Sometimes we hear what somebody says to us, maybe a piece of advice, and we respond and it resonates, and there's this sense maybe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Many times we think of this as a calling, so it's not unusual for a minister or a missionary to say, I was called to do this work, and I remember the specific moment that I was called. Sometimes it's a calling to a new career. Sometimes it's a calling to move, maybe even a calling to get married to somebody. And sometimes we give the Holy Spirit credit for that. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, it has to be really, really big for us to be called. And we think of our callings as not being quite important enough. I've been really fascinated with calling since I was very young. When I was in grade school in the 1950s, so you got my age now, I saw a movie with Rock Hudson where he was helping Korean War orphans. And I thought that was the most important calling and the most important work that anyone could do. And so I waited for some big, important calling like Rock Hudson's character had. But it became clear at some point that was not my calling to do that kind of work. I was called into the arts and into theology, and I have spent most of my career looking at and exploring this relationship between the creative process and art and theology, religion, and spirituality. So I began to recognize that when we are called, we need to follow that. And sometimes that calling is big and sometimes it's little. In the movie Dead Poets Society, if any of you remember that, the teacher, Mr. Keating, that was played by Robin Williams, said to his students, carpe diem, seize the day, that you are here, that life exists in identity, that the powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. And then he asked his students, and what will your verse be? So sometimes this Spirit leads us into social justice issues or into the medical profession or business or science. And one person I recently spoke to, she said, I knew what my calling was, and I finally realized it wasn't just a matter of knowing it, it was that I must follow it. Now, sometimes a calling is small, and it's that little prod or that little nudge. Many years ago, I was walking past a pet store in Berkeley, And I got this little prod that says, go into that store. And I thought, why would I go in that pet store? I don't have a pet. I'm not interested in getting a pet. But there was that prodding. So I walked in the store, and I noticed in the far-off corner was the owner of the store, and there were two young men next to her. And there was a little feeling I had of some tension going on. But I turned my back to them, and I pretended to be extremely interested in the fish. So as I stood by that fish tank, the young men left, and the owner said to me, they were ready to rob me, and if you had not come into the store at that exact moment, that would have happened. So it was important that I follow that little nudge. A few weeks ago, I had a similar little nudge that seemed so unimportant, but I followed it. I had a friend who had COVID. She had been vaccinated. She and her husband had breakthrough cases, and they were very ill. Her name was Rose. As Rose said to me, I have never been this sick in my life, and I could feel my life leaving me. She is better now. But I first made the usual response when I heard about this, and I said, can I bring food? We could leave some food on your porch or whatever you might need. And she said, well, no, we're fine about that. But I really wanted to do something, and I was praying about Rose and Bob, and I got this little nudge that said, yellow roses. Now, I don't know how many of you know, yellow roses mean friendship and family. And Rose knew that because I had given her some yellow roses several months before. So I thought, yeah, I will leave two yellow roses on the porch and let her know they are there. And I thought, if this is a nudge from the Holy Spirit, then her receiving it will be in that same sense that she has received our care and our love. So Rose then dropped me an email, and she told me how much she loved them. She said they lasted a long time. Now, I got yellow roses for myself at the same time, and mine didn't last. And then she said they had this beautiful fragrance. And I thought, I don't remember the fragrance of my yellow roses. She said, literally, we moved them from room to room. And I thought, that obviously was important. And yellow roses seemed so unimportant. And yet, there was that little nudge. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about following that movement. There's a whole little story in Acts chapter 8 about the Apostle Philip. He's told by the Holy Spirit to walk down this road from Jerusalem to Gaza. He doesn't know why. He says, okay, I'll walk down that road. And while he was on that road, the treasurer of Ethiopia was riding by in a chariot. And the Spirit said, go over and walk next to that chariot. So Philip did. Then Philip felt moved to respond to the man who was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he said, would you like help on interpreting this scripture? And because Jesus was recently resurrected, and let me tell you about what this scripture means. There's a lot to learn about the prodding of the Holy Spirit from this particular verse. So first, Philip started walking down the road in faith. He had no idea why he was told to walk down that road, and he had no extra orders beyond walk down that road. Now, part of the idea when the Spirit prods you is to respond quickly. So Philip didn't say, I'll get around to that, I'll walk down later today. He didn't say, let me eat lunch first. Let me talk to my few friends, I haven't seen them for a while, and then I'll walk down the road. Because if Philip had not responded quickly, he would have missed the encounter. We might say, why is that encounter so important? Do we really care? Say, well, obviously the Bible cared. The story is in there. There's another interesting part of this story, which has to do with crossing boundaries. So Philip is one of the apostles. He's dirty, he's dusty, maybe he's even smelly. And the treasure of Ethiopia is in this chariot, clean and being carried along, but interested in Isaiah. And at the same time, also, this person from Ethiopia was a eunuch, and therefore he was an outsider. So what happened in this prodding is that Philip is moved across boundaries. And one of the things that can happen when we are prodded, when we are moved, many times it is to cross boundaries to relate in some way to somebody who we think of as the other, somebody who is outside our comfort zone. And so we move in that sense. I've recently been thinking about the Afghan refugees that are coming into Colorado Springs now. And I know we got an email from Vicki that there has been a desire, you know, what can we do to help? And it might be some of you might be prodded to help with that, and you say, boy, this is really crossing kind of a boundary, because we probably don't know very many Middle Easterners, and we probably don't know many refugees. So there might be this movement to say, oh, I'd like to get involved, and even though I'm afraid, or even though this is not comfortable, that's part of what the Holy Spirit does. Now, sometimes we get this movement, and we don't really know, is that really a good idea? So there's some ways that we can test this movement. One of the ways, of course, is to enter into a time of prayer and meditation about it, to get quiet and calm and get rid of all the distractions and chaos that so often come along. Or we think about everybody else's opinion and we need to sort it out a little bit, and we do that in that quiet space. One of the ways to do this is to do what God did right before he created the world. The verse says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And now, sometimes when you read in your Bible, it might say the Spirit of God was moving, or was like a wind. But a rabbi said the actual correct word is to hover. And she said the only other place that word appears is in Deuteronomy, about a mother eagle hovering over the nest. So it's kind of like you're brooding. You're just warming things up. And hovering comes out of making decisions that are not frenetic and desperate, but kind of quiet. Now, as a writer, I hover before I start to write. And I hover when I get stuck. And it's the same thing with an artist. They look at a blank canvas, and instead of saying, I better quickly put some paint on, they hover. They say, let me just take a moment. Oh, now I feel moved to start my work. Or the actor or the musician or the dancer ready to enter the stage. Take a moment to breathe in and let the Spirit move. So often when I have hovered, I get an idea and I start writing that first or second sentence, and all of a sudden I've written pages and pages. And I said, where did that come from? Well, it's that movement. This movement can be the same with social justice issues. You are moved to join an organization or a committee or to volunteer in some way. So the Holy Spirit moves in those ways. Another thing to do if you're unsure is to get a group of wise friends. I have my little list of wise friends, and they get called at various times and say, I'm thinking, you know, I feel moved, I'm not sure about this. So The first thing to do is, if you are the one asking for feedback, be really honest about your self-doubts. What are your conflicts? Why are you unsure about this? And if you're the listener, look at where the energy and joy comes from. Some years ago, I was talking to a fellow Quaker who was trying to decide about several possible career directions. She was really unhappy with what she was doing, and she started talking about all sorts of ideas, and most of them seemed like she was going backwards or giving up. So then she started talking about teaching. She was a flute teacher, and she had a little flute studio, just a few people, but otherwise was working in a department. Her eyes lit up. She started to smile. There was so much wonderful energy. And I fed that back to her. I said, that's where your passion is. That's where your joy is. That's where your bliss is. So she decided to see if she could make it work. So it's about 5 or 8 years later. She now has 23 students. She has a full flute studio. And she is so happy. So obviously that energy was saying something about what was really important and what was a good path. We can also test this by saying, is this a good thing, that what seems to be my prodding? One of the things I sometimes do is I ask the question, if I take money out of this equation, then what do I decide? Because people get caught up in money. It's like, how much will it pay? Can I make a living on this? And you say, take that out and just say, does this seem like a good idea? Sometimes I ask myself the question, if I take my natural sense of not feeling up to the task out of the equation, then what do I think about this idea? Remember, Moses had all sorts of excuses about why he wasn't going to lead his people. He says, I'm not a good speaker, I'm not very good at this, but he did just fine. Or if I take my feeling that I might be embarrassed or I might fail, is that a good path? Because with the Holy Spirit, we are not doing this alone anyway. As we say, is if you ask me, you got to be with me. That's the deal. Sometimes we might even be praying and say, you know, things are not opening like I want them to, or that it's an opening, but I don't know my next step. Is this my problem or is it God's problem? In 1981, I was trying to start a business in the film industry, and it was not going well. But I thought this is what I was led to do, and I couldn't figure out why God was not cooperating correctly. So I was led to say a rather unusual prayer. I said to God, if this is what you want from me, what if I'm the person putting up the barriers and not you? So I'll make you a little deal. I am willing to confront whatever my part is in this. And here's another little thing. If that means I have to go to a therapist to help me, I'll do that. But I have to find a really cheap one because I have no money. So I tell God, you have to find me a cheap therapist because I might need some help. And I discovered that people in graduate school learning about psychology need to have practice clients. And it's really easy because there's a sliding scale and you pay hardly anything. So I found a very cheap therapist, I found a very good one, and I had a terrific career. Of almost 40 years, I retired a year ago, June, but it was that being able to move. So we hover, we move quickly when we feel the Spirit, we walk out in faith, we cross boundaries when needed, and we know we are not doing this alone. The gentle Spirit is leading us on the right path.
Amen.